live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 304. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. And, man, do we have a show for y'all tonight. We've got NBA draft night going on this evening. We've got, we've just got a lot going on, NBA draft. We've got news and notes from the NBA to go to as well, with trades and contracts. We've got WWE and Indianapolis making major headline moves earlier this week, over the weekend into today. But tonight's going to steal the show is the association. We've got NBA draft night one. We're going to talk that and more. We got Jonathan joining me here shortly. But whoever the hell thought that having the NBA draft on two separate nights was going to be a good idea, the first round tonight, the second round tomorrow, which nobody really, watches the second round already. And to make it even a bigger point, they moved the second round draft to 4 p.m. tomorrow, right? 4 p.m. for this for the second round of the draft. Nobody going to watch that. There's going to be people at work. People going to snooze. It'll be 6 p.m., get home for dinner, and nobody going to give a shit about the NBA draft second round. The only thing they'll be watching is if somebody, whoever decides to load up and take Bronny James too many times. So, where Bronny will end up, I'll talk with Jonathan more about it, but I do feel like, man, I would like to see Bronny get cucked, the Lakers get cucked, and Bronny go like maybe one or two picks before him, before the Lakers get it. So they kind of, and I think it's a smart move because I think, honestly, the Lakers then won them. So at that point, they're going to have to pay whatever the ransom is to get him from the team. So whatever assets you have, you want him that bad, trade for him. So if I'm a team in the second round tomorrow afternoon and it's getting to me before the Lakers come up, I think he's telling the Lakers, hey, I'm going to draft Bronny. You want him that damn bad? Trade me some draft assets. You want him that bad, damn bad. And the Lakers are going to be handcuffed, and they're going to have to do it. So I think it's intriguing to see what happens with that. So, but we've got our own draft guru, our NBA association guru. This is one of his favorite nights of the year. Jonathan Birdsong, my co-host, JB. How are you?
I want to be like Michael Jordan. I'm sure everybody's singing that tonight. This at the NBA draft, right? But I know kind of coming into, saying everybody listening to the airwaves and whatnot, saying, this ain't the strongest draft or whatever. But it's like, it's still a big night for a lot of young athletes, whether they played overseas or where they played in college or where they played in some of the basketball academies that they have here in the United States, man. But it's a big night. I'm ready for it. I know we got a whole lot of things to cover, man. Where do you want to start first?
Yeah, let's dive right into the action. We'll play the sounder. We've got the breaking news, and it kind of came in waves starting last night. Breaking news in the association, the NBA. Last night, John, we had you may have been sleeping at that point. I was still burning the midnight oil. We had a trade late last night. Mikal Bridges, who I've been trying to advocate to come to the Pacers for several times. Mikal Bridges says, hey, Nets, I want out. I want to go to the Knicks. Make it happen. Mikal Bridges traded to the Knicks, John. Four first-round picks and Bogey. Four first rounds, a little much for the Knicks to go out and get Mikal Bridges. And I'll get your reaction to that. And then today they doubled down. We thought it was going to be the end of OG Anunoby in the Knicks based off Mikal Bridges coming. And out of nowhere in the last 30 minutes, the Knicks swing and take a huge uppercut with OG Anunoby signing a five-year, $212 million extension with the Knicks. So they've kept Pope. I don't know if they'll keep Hartenstein after that contract.
Right. Good luck with that. And you know what, Brandon, you know what I'm saying? I like the trade with Knicks made with Brooklyn. Now you got the full Villanova Wildcats. I mean, you know, in attendance in Madison Square Garden. I can't even think of who they're missing right now. If there's any more Villanova players playing around the league, but like, yeah, so he'll be
Scotty Reynolds.
Maybe not. But like, no, in all seriousness, though, but like, no, man, I think it's a good move for the Knicks. That's kind of a question mark when you say, like, as we came on, right when we came on, that the OG and Obi kind of signed for 212, man. I don't know if that necessarily, I know they like to play small, but I don't know if they want to play small with part-time players, man. OG Anunoby got $212 million. He's a part-time player.
I was going to say, you're paying that much for 50 games a year?
50 games a year and no playoffs. So good luck, Nick. I get it, man. He's a prime. You know what I'm saying? And he's in his prime, and he's a great defender. He can get, you know what I'm saying, 17, 16 points out of him, man. But that's just, you know, man, a lot of redundancy there, and you know, and they know they got a heart, you know what I'm saying? We signed, what's his name, Harbinstein. I know I messed up his name, but you know, y'all know who I'm talking about. Like, no, man, so it sounds like they'll be playing small and fast. So I know Las Vegas had, sports bettors had everybody, you know what I'm saying, plus 1,000 to win the NBA title. I can't, I don't know. That, you know, that's hype. You know what I mean? I can't put the Knicks necessarily in a top two or top three situation of winning the title, but they definitely improved their team. And if anybody thinks that I don't necessarily think the East is wide open by any realm of imagination, Boston's still going Boston. They might lose a couple pieces of their depth,
right.
their darn selves. But now, man, teams are swinging for the fences, man, trying to improve their chances to get better. But like Brandon, what does this mean for Josh Hart? Is he out?
No, he's still there.
That's what I would kind of question.
Now, Hart and DiVincenzo are both going to come off the bench. Hart initially was a bench guy, if you remember right.
Right.
But Hart's going to come off the bench for that. And DiVincenzo, we'll see how much his attitude lets him think he's going to be a bench player coming off the bench. Is there enough basketballs there for that entire team? Because you got to think one of the biggest ball hogs in Knicks history is coming back, Julius Randle. Or is that a trade potential for Julius to get out of there? You got to think he was injured there towards the end of the season, and when they kind of made the run, so they're like, hey, do I really need Julius Randle here? Or can we trade him for another piece?
Right,
possibly save up some of that salary.
Right, right. I was kind of thinking that, man. Julius Randle, I was kind of talking with our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, man. As we all, you know, we try to talk offline, does Julius Randle, does he still fit with this small ball team? He'll probably get to have to – I don't know. I know he played a lot of center when he played in New Orleans and any time with the Lakers, man. But with his number, that cap number, and do the Knicks want to go get into the business of playing what they call the tax that they have to pay over, you know, being over salary cap. So it'll be real interesting, man. Julius Randle, not to push him out of the Knicks organization, you know what I'm saying, just yet. But Julius Randle, you know what I'm saying, you think a team like the Mavericks, what would that look like with him on that team, man? You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're still playing a couple games, man, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Right now, on paper, the Knicks look like a top three team in the East.
Yeah, I also think another contender for Julius Randle could be the Philadelphia 76ers. I personally see either Julius Randle or Brandon Ingram, one of those two, being a 76er next year, so. I think it's going to happen with one of those two because they need to retool themselves, and I think they will. Speaking of money, we talked about OG and Obi getting that money to go to New York. Scotty Barnes, 5 years, $270 million in Toronto. I guess somebody's got to get the money up there, right?
him and Schroeder, I guess. But, yeah, man, it's not a bad deal. They're obviously in rebound mode, you know what I'm saying? Rebuild mode. I think they'll be competitive. You know what I'm saying? Scottie Barnes, you know what I mean? Is he the next Jason Tatum? That remains to be seen. You know what I'm saying? He's still got to find some of his offense. He's got the defense. You know what I'm saying? He's got, obviously, they put the leadership man on it's his team officially now, right? Ain't no doubt about that. But, nah, man, Toronto, they might be one of these teams, you know what I'm saying, that make some wholesale changes later on, like in February, you know what I'm saying, as we get close to the trade deadline. But as far as Scottie Barnes, He's there for an extended amount of period of time.
Earlier, last week, after the Boston Celtics won the NBA title, which seems like a lifetime ago now, The Pacers and Pascal Siakam agree to a four-year, $189.5 million deal. John, huge that they kept it from being a five-year deal. It's a lot of more flexibility for Indiana. But, yeah, just 4 years, they've locked in their guy. They're kind of strapped for cash right now, but they got to make a few more moves. You got to feel like, I know Windhorst said that the Pacers are looking to add pieces, but they're kind of strapped on what pieces that's going to be.
Right. I kind of am concerned, man. I watched some tape, to be honest with you, Brandon, dunk contest tape, practice tape with LeBron James and Obi Toppin. And though Obi Toppin is not necessarily a world beater by any realm of the imagination, he did turn in a pretty good season for the Indiana Pacers. I'm still kind of curious on what his number is. I've seen people say it's $9 million a year. I've seen some people say he goes as high as 15. And if it gets closer to that 15 number, I don't think Obi Toppin's here unless it's like a one-year deal, you know what I'm saying, prove it to us again type of situation. But, yeah, Pacers are getting a little strapped for cash.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to kind of see what happens there with that. Another trade that happened last night, with the Bridges trade, the Nets went out and made a trade with the Rockets, and they got their pick back for the James Harden. During the James Harden deal, they got their first-round pick for next year so they can submit their, quote, flag to get Cooper Flagg as the number one pick next year. Nets are trying to get it. Rockets, see what they're doing. There was word last night that possibly they're interested in a Kevin Durant. And Phoenix can get themselves back to a, quote, rebuild, back to a normal squad if they get off the Kevin Durant contract that sounds like they're not too happy with, which I mean, there's so much coming out of Phoenix with that. But interesting what the Rockets have done. And it sounds like Ime Udoka wants Kevin Durant, but maybe the Rockets organization brass does not. They would prefer a Devin Booker.
Yeah, Ime Udoka was Kevin Durant's assistant coach when Kevin Durant, the first year Kevin Durant was in Brooklyn. So there is somewhat of a relationship kind of already there. You know what I mean? Kevin Durant, to my knowledge, not that I talked to his representation, but to my knowledge, he hasn't necessarily asked for a trade. You know what I'm saying? But I don't remember him asking for a trade to me. You know what I'm saying? Until it was like, you know what I mean? From Brooklyn. You know what I mean? But they still trading. But I don't know. The Phoenix Suns got to do something. Their best tradable asset is Devin Booker. But they don't want to trade Devin Booker. He's not. I don't want to say he's not the problem. You know what I'm saying? Phoenix Suns have changed ownership, right? And the new owner came in, said, "I want it all. I want to go small ball like the Knicks did, like you know, Golden State did." And you stuck with Bradley Beal's contract. Now you kind of stuck with Kevin Durant's contract. They all make and Booker. I mean, not necessarily Booker. Booker is the beloved son of, you know what I'm saying, he's the organic one, right? He's the one they drafted, right? But they all right now, you know, the one's pushing 50. What Kevin Durant make? $51 million next year.
Yeah,
I think Booker's on the hook for 47 or 49, and Bradley Beal somehow, when he's out there in Washington, he got everybody to pay him between $46 million and $47 million per year. Ooh. And that's kind of where they're at right now. So they have to unload a contract. Beal's contract is not sexy. Beal's contract is not sexy, neither is Beal's play. Not sexy at all. So Kevin Durant, I mean, I guess I would assume, Brandon, to kind of wrap this one up, I would assume Houston's probably sending all kind of flowers and whatever else, you know what I'm saying, and trying to see with Kevin Durant's representation to see if he might want to come over and then particularly ask for a trade. And it might be kind of already, you know what I'm saying, that might set things in motion.
Yeah, another trade that happened just right before we went on the air is Portland and Washington. Washington traded, and I can't think of his name, gosh dang it, right now for the life of me. I knew it was going to pop up. I knew I was going to forget the dude's name. Davi. I can't think. Yeah. He's getting traded. I can't even fucking think his name. Damn it. Basically, the Wizards are trading a guy to Portland. Davi, that dude's actually going to be – he's actually a good piece, good player. Shame on me for not knowing his name that well. But he's been traded there. Portland is then trading the 14th pick. Sorry. Denny – Avaji, that's what it is. Avaja.
Okay.
Their trade, Portland gets Denny Avaja. Wizards are getting the 14th pick tonight in the draft, a 2029 pick, and they're also getting Malcolm Brogdon. So Malcolm Brogdon is coming to the Wizards, maybe his sixth team now that he's gone to. And then it seems like that the Wizards are trying to stockpile, not so say draft picks, but it sounds like the Wizards are trying to explore every pathway to get assets. With three turns already in the first round, they've got the 2, the 14, and the 26. And there's some, apparently there's some rising curiosity, Mark Stein says, about their plans for Kyle Kuzma. Sacramento at number 13 is known to be interested in Kuzma once again. De'Aaron Fox is not going to sign his an extension until he finds out what Sacramento is going to do. And then also Mark Stein just reported that Washington has emerged. The Wizards have emerged as another viable trade destination for Dallas's Tim Hardaway Jr., league sources say. The NBA offseason is popping.
Yeah, it's popping, man. I watched the I think I watched Gilbert Arenas' podcast.
Oh,
and they said somebody on there. I know, man. I mean, it came up on the algorithm, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm always locked in on Crossroads Sports, man. You always know. But like, man, nah, man. They say Washington is where you go to, you know what I'm saying, unless you get drafted there, you get traded there. That's where you go to get your business right, man, because it's kind of purgatory. That is absolutely basketball purgatory right now in the NBA, man. Like, who wants to play?
Right.
Who won? You got to attach all kind of draft picks to take Kyle Kuzma's contract, man. Nobody wants that fool. not to be totally, you know, totally negative about it, man. He hasn't necessarily lived up to his potential there at all. And they don't really, who else is there, man? They don't really have any other, you know what I'm saying, megastars, superstars, or anybody, you know what I'm saying, coming through that door. Worth the sack. So yeah, man, they probably do need to blow it up.
Paul George, there's word that he could opt into his contract and then could be traded by the weekend. That was reported as well yesterday. Paul George wants 5 years, John, and it seems like that Clippers are going to say we're just going to do it 4. We're not going to do the 5th year. Paul wants the 5th year. There could be some bluffing. The Clippers seem to think that Paul's going to bluff. He doesn't want to leave LA. He'll do the 4-year deal. But there are teams out there who will give, apparently according to Wojnarowski tonight, there are teams out there that would offer Paul George the 5-year deal with that. So it would have to be a trade, obviously. But the number one suitor is just up the coast, the Warriors. They want to reload. And Paul George and the Warriors is a serious, serious option that could be on the table this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of seen that even before I kind of came into work. I just don't know what that means from if Klay Thompson is still going to be around, because they also offered him a contract. And bringing, like, that would be kind of messed up, Brandon. You bringing in Paul George and paying him more, and he ain't want to, you know what I'm saying, not nothing. You know what I'm saying? Not I don't want to say nothing, but nothing of significance. You know what I'm saying? Golden State Warriors, his number's going to be retired. Paul George and Klay Thompson, right? You know what I mean? So that'll be interesting. But, here's the thing, though. Does the Golden State Warriors have contracts that they can shift back over to the Clippers to make the money matter, line up? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? You might get a Jonathan Kuminga playing in the Clippers. You might get a Moody. You might get a Moody. I'm talking about some young talent. The Clippers probably would want to look to get a little bit younger, a little bit more athletic up front. I couldn't see Clay, a straight up Clay for Paul George.
No, it's not straight up. There'd be others involved for sure.
Yeah. So, but like, man, that's gonna be interesting. I don't. It'd be interesting. Paul George. He probably wish he could get to Golden State. But I do know Philadelphia has some interest. But I know I think they wanted to give him a little bit shorter of a deal. That's the 5-year deal. And other than that, I haven't heard anything else. I know a lot of folks, even here on Crossroads Sports, we kind of flirted around with what would it like him coming here. We definitely the prices are definitely out of the payroll for players adding Paul George to their salary. But even if Paul George does go to Golden State Warriors, that kind of minimalizes their team in just a little bit and like what they can do. If you think about those great Golden State Warriors teams, like they had a lot of, even though Steph and Clay and Draymond were playing great, they still had great bench. If Paul George comes in and they make a move, I think some of that bench depth kind of goes away. But we'll see what we shall see.
There's a better chance for the Pacers to re-sign Danny Granger than to get Paul George back.
Damon Bailey.
Oh, Damon Bailey as well. Man, we're really going deep. The draft tonight, John, it's one of your favorite nights, one of my favorite nights.
I love it.
I know we're going to get the names that are the four names that we're not going to know what the hell's going on with these some of these mm-hmm. names. Zachary Rasharich, I can Rasher from France.
It's Rasher.
Okay, Rasher. 6'8", 195, probably going to Atlanta, it looks like. Alex Saar, who initially was the number one pick for a while from France as well, going number two likely tonight. And then John's boy, Reed Shepard, going down to Houston.
Oh, my God. Why you got to be with me? Why you got to be with me, man?
Man, you've been all over the Reed Shepard talk for a while.
Man, you know, he had a good – I know I said that he, you know, he looked like a mere mortal against the University of Oakland when we saw him at the Horizon League Championships. But, like, man, he had some great games in UK against, I do believe, Texas A&M. And I don't want to call out that one, but he had some good games during SEC play. What he has done in his draft workout is, you know what I'm saying, shown that he can be a good shot maker. He's shown that he has some athleticism, as he can dunk, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily like dunk like LeBron, but he can finish at the rim. And he's shown that he can, you know what I'm saying, in the defensive drills that he can stay in front of his, you know what I'm saying, in front of his man. So is he the next John Stockton? I don't know. But as far as this draft's concerned, man, you know what I'm saying, you can't not turn your head against an elite-level shooting, which he is. And you can't necessarily turn your head at a guy who can come play point guard for you day one. You know what I mean? I get it. Maybe Cal wasn't using him right. And, you know what I'm saying, as we all know, and we all kind of criticized Cal. Hell, that's why he got fired. he's coaching at Arkansas, right, because he didn't, you know what I'm saying, he don't have enough championships, right? But, like, no, in all seriousness, man, Reed Shepard's probably going to go top five.
This draft, man. Just some interesting talk throughout the league, John. I've seen a couple mocks that's got Zach Edey. I've seen him going to the Lakers at 17. I've seen him going to the Raptors at 19. And then just earlier this afternoon, I saw a report of him possibly going to number 12 with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, the Thunder traded Giddey. So it frees up Holmgren and Wallace to receive more touches. But they still actually need a true center because Holmgren's not a center type, right? They need some size in there, interior scoring, offensive rebounding, screening. Adding that, I see Oklahoma City at Edey at 12. I think that fits a need. Right now on DraftKings, if you were to take that, it's plus 1,000. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. Because I do think it's either going to be the Lakers or the Raptors. But at plus 1,000, mm-hmm. man, I'll put $10 on to win 100, that Zach can go number 12, possibly to Oklahoma City. I think it makes sense on that. What'd you say?
I think it's very fascinating, man. When we looked at pre-draft, you know what I'm saying, going into this season, going into the, you know what I'm saying, the collegiate season, Zach Edey was a second rounder. Zach Edey was a second rounder last year. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody was in agreement that, you know what I'm saying, was at least an argument with the IU and Purdue folks, who was going to get drafted first, him or Trey Jackson Davis. Zach Edey decided, because it was more financial beneficial for him to come back to school. And look at now. He parlayed himself into a first-round draft pick, man. All right, bro. I know Purdue, they're going to put that in the program when he rolls out there. And he's selected, you know what I'm saying, in the first round, whether it be, I don't think he's going to be anywhere in the 20s either.
Yeah.
So, is he going to be top 10? Probably not. But
keep your mic close to me, John. You're cutting fun, Caden, out a little bit.
But, like, no, what scouts like about Zach E is that he's tall, and you can't teach that. He does have a motor. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, you question guys, you know what I'm saying, who are in the top lottery pick. Why don't they have the same motor this kid got? But he does have a motor. Can he play laterally? I think that's a big question mark for him. But you know he can rebound. You know he can block shots. And he's 7 foot plus. Like, dude, why wouldn't – if this was the 80s or 90s, he'd probably be number two or three. That's just the truth. Because we haven't seen him be a shooter from three. I know he hit, like, one. He hit that one against IU, that, you know, saying three-pointer, but we haven't seen him, you know, shoot a whole lot of threes or even a whole lot of outside shots. Again, I think that's the reason why, you know, saying people got him slated between, you know, saying 10 and 15. But I think this is very fascinating, man. Exactly, he has played his way into the national, two-time national player, has played his way into a first-round situation, man. And you go, anybody who drafts him, you know, you got a smart player, and a guy's going to be able to contribute like day one.
Mm-hmm. Facebook, Mac Gaddis says, Reed Sheppard is Tyler Hero 2.0.
If that's the case, that's not bad.
Pick worthy, but you know, I mean, they did play at the same college, right? So
I can't remember who was drafted in front of Tyler during that draft. I kind of thought Tyler Hero was going to be. It's nothing disrespectful to say. It's nothing. I thought Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero went number 13. In the draft.
Yeah, I thought Tyler Hill was going to be, and he kind of wowed us, you know what I'm saying, when they went to the finals, him and Jimmy. It's kind of, sometimes he goes kind of hot and cold, good combo guard, I would say.
Romeo Langford went after him, but before him was Zion, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, DeAndre Hunter, Darius Garland, Jarrett Culver, Cody White, Jackson Hayes, Rui Hachimura, Cam Reddish, Cam Johnson. That's a future Pacer, I hope. And PJ Washington, and then Tyler Hero. So,
I made some argument there that he probably should have went a little bit higher, man. But if Reed Sheppard's going to compare to Tyler Hero, man, I think that's a pretty good NBA comparison. I would say Tyler Hero would be better.
Cam has some issues.
You think he's going to have issues?
Cam Reddish. He had some issues.
Oh, man, he's a travel man.
another mock I see has Khalil Ware going number 15 to the Miami Heat.
I'm worried about that. I'm a little worried about Khalil Ware. I'm a little worried, Brad.
Are you?
Man, he got all the tools, as they say, but do you got the heart? Do you got the motor? You can't turn heart and motor from Oregon to Indiana. And then Indiana, you know what I'm saying, turning that season. I mean, it was okay. But
John, your audio's cutting out a little bit.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me see.
It's cutting out. It's almost like we can't hardly hear you. So if you want to fix that real quick, and then we'll get you back.
How are we now?
You sound a hell of a lot better now.
Okay. I'm like, nah, man, I'm a little worried about Khalil Ware, man. Do I think he can play? Yes, I'm just worried about the motor. He's leveled up in play the last two seasons, and, you know, I think being in Bloomington and being around Coach Woodson, they developed him to get him ready for this point. But, like, now what happens when you are in charge of your own development, when you got to be your own pusher? You know what I mean? Playing for IU is one thing. Playing for an NBA franchise that drafts you in the lottery or drafts you first round and, you know, say expectations, that's a whole other thing. You know what I mean? I just hope he doesn't get that first check and get lazy.
Going through the mock and looking, 24. The Knicks have the 24th and the 25th pick. We've talked about what they've done already, but 24th pick, this mock hasn't taken Tyler Kolek from Marquette, and then 25th pick taking Kyle Filipkowski from Duke. Man, adding those two pieces, I don't know how Filipkowski would relate to the NBA level, because honestly, I wasn't sure what Derek Lively would be able to do, and he's kind of turned himself into a nice little pro career so far.
Yeah, I've probably been most critical of Filipkowski, man. Doesn't necessarily always play strong. If you remember, man, he had that game where he faked like somebody – somebody did run into him, but he faked like he was dead when they ran into him after the win. Who beat them? Was it Maryland or was that the UNC game? I cannot recall.
I think it's Carolina.
Hopefully – oh, Yeah, hopefully he's been, you know what I'm saying, since they Duke's early bounce out in the tournament, he's been on the weight training program, all those things, and got a little bit stronger. Does he have a good outside shot? Yeah. Can you know what I'm saying, because does he have decent footwork? Yeah. It's just probably, you know what I'm saying, his strength and conditioning would be somewhat of a red flag for me, because, you know what I'm saying, with him, it's a plan in the paint, he's going to be asked to do more, a lot more rebounding and a lot more, you know what I'm saying, being a contender, you know what I'm saying, shot blocker.
So first round's tonight, second round of the draft is going to be tomorrow at 4 p.m., which I said before you got on that nobody's going to be watching that shit. They already don't watch the second round, but they're only watching for one guy in the second round. But the fact that it's a 4 p.m. right. Thursday is wild when it starts. The Indiana Pacers, our local team here, John, right now they've got 3 second-round picks. I don't even know. I doubt they get anybody tonight that they move up into the first round. I don't see it. Like I said, it's a very quiet offseason for the Pacers. But second round right now at 36, a mock has got them taking Tyler Smith, power forward from G League Ignite, 6'11". Is Smith's 3-and-D upside would fit with the Pacers. They already got a bunch of wings and forwards, but it shouldn't stop accumulating if you get rid of Jalen Smith. Tyler Smith, take away Jalen, get Tyler in there. That could possibly add a little bit. It's got 7'1" wingspan, 6'9", 224, possibly for Indiana. And if you look at, as it goes later on into the draft for the Pacers, at number 49 and 50, they got back-to-back picks. If they keep them, they've got them taking Zion Pullen, the Florida senior point guard. Could be a replacement in the long-term future if he's still with the team for T.J. McConnell. He's a much better shooter than T.J. is, so maybe that's something with a little bit of G League experience. G League experience. That's something that Tyler Pullen or Zion Pullen can do. And they've got Melvin Ajinka from St. Quentin, France, going at 50 for the Pacers if they would have keep him, but it'd be a shooting guard. And then LeBron James' son, Bronny James, John, 56, to the Lakers. Everywhere I've seen that has this guy going at 56 to the Lakers, that he has not gone to any other team. My talk before you got on today was I would love tomorrow to see a team cuck the Lakers and take Bronny to where then they have to stay out to Los Angeles and say, hey, you want him? You got to trade us some assets, my man, if you want him that damn bad, to where it puts him in that. Because if they're going to flirt and wait till 56 to take him, then at that point, hey, I'm going to sneak up in there. Who's right in front of the Lakers that they could do this? Some teams. I'll give you the Boston Celtics are at 55. Did you think the rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers, if they said, hey, let's just take Bronny James here. Let's put him on our team. Boom, let's take him just to spite the Knicks or the Lakers. Brandon, before that is Golden State and Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if his representation is going to allow him to be drafted by Detroit. I'll be honest with you about that. No shade to the Pistons, but they're kind of going through it right now, as we all know. I will say this though, Brandon, you can't turn the NBA draft into Monopoly, man. You can't trade me Boardwalk. You know what I'm saying? Boardwalk.
They may, John.
You trying to trade me Park Place and Boardwalk?
They trade coaches.
Bronny is Carrollton Avenue. Bronny is the electric company, mate. I can't give you Boardwalk. I can't give you Park Place. I'm not doing that. You can't trade them that. I want to touch a little bit back on these Pacers situation, man. If the Pacers, if any of those guys that they have graded in the second round that they, you know what I'm saying, potentially the draft, if any of those guys are a little bit better than Isaiah Wong or any of the other guys they drafted last year, the kid from UK, Oscar Tshiebwe, right? If any of those guys are better than those guys, then they will, you know what I'm saying, use those picks. But I don't think any of those guys are better or are ready to play, you know what I'm saying, NBA basketball. They you know what I'm saying, a lot of those guys that Pacers gave G League assignments to, you know what I'm saying, or who had call-ups, you know, so maybe on a 5-day or 10-day contract or whatever, man, they're that's how you grow your team organically. You know what I mean? They're, like I said, they are a little bit more on pace they're bringing in a rookie. So I don't see the Pacers making it, but I'll just fight you straight out. What we got?
Breaking news, Indiana Pacers.
Right now.
The Pacers have issued Obi Toppin a $7.8 million qualifying offer to the restricted free agent. Indiana now has the right to match any offer that Toppin would sign elsewhere. He averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, shot 40% from 3. But the Pacers' qualifying offer is $7.8 mil. If Toppin says no, wants to do the free agency side, Pacers can match anything for that. John, we talked about what that number would be. The Pacers are like, hey, 7.8 is what we're going to do for now. The Obi could be on the way out. If it gets too high, some crazy team tries to offer him.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, man. Would you say Obi Toppin is as good as Bruce Brown, who makes $20 million? Right? I would. I just think Bruce Brown was on the Denver Nuggets team that won a championship. He parlayed that championship ring into, you know, saying to the market, giving him $20 million per year. I get it. Obi Toppin is a little limited in what he can and can't do as a forward. Doesn't necessarily rebound like you want to, like a crazy man. But he runs that floor and he does finish and he is action. You know what I'm saying? Highlight. But hey. If they said the market, but that's probably right. That's probably right. The market is probably like between $7 and $10 million, man. So, Obi, there you go. You better take it for the, you know what I'm saying, before they rescind it.
A couple of news and notes. Scott K. Nichols, our sponsor, says Pacers are in trouble with these Knicks moves. That's one thing, but you can get – and here's my thing. Our guy JMV, I think, said it best this afternoon was Pacers fans can get all scared and upset. Oh my God, but who's to say this is all going to gel together as well? Like, these guys got playing time and stuff with injuries and stuff, and when that ain't happening this year or whatnot, and people aren't going to get the ball and get those feelings hurt. Do you trust him? Because I don't. I really don't. It was nice what he did.
Right. I'm wondering, do we think the Pacers are the second – does the collective, not necessarily me and you, does the collective think the Pacers are the second-best team in the East right now going into the season? We know
no.
I'm saying Boston's the best team, period. They're the champs until somebody knocks them off. You know what I'm saying? They're the best team. You know what I mean? Milwaukee has all kinds of issues. They got gelling issues. Miami, come on now. Pat Riley don't even want to resign Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? So if the Pacers do believe that they are a top five team, you know what I'm saying, with a puncher's chance, as we know, Brooklyn is selling away. We know Washington is selling away. Toronto is going to be bland. You know what I mean? The Bulls are probably going to be bland. You know what I mean? Maybe it is time for the Pacers to make a move. But I don't necessarily think it's the Knicks that's kind of scared. I think they have to figure out how to beat Boston, how to not get swept, not necessarily worry about
– Johnson. We need Cam Johnson. I told you, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. I flirted with those two back when they were in Phoenix, that we needed to get one of those two wings. And
yeah,
it seems like that the Nets are ready to trade Cam Johnson. And right now, if the Pacers, if you want him that damn bad, if you need that position and you feel like you got to do something for it, maybe it's a Ben Mathurin. Maybe it's a Jairus Walker or whatnot. I hate to say it, but right now, and it just got – sent out is that the Cavaliers are expected to show interest in trading for Cam Johnson tonight. They've got the number 20 pick that they can dangle with the Nets. If they get Cam Johnson, that's another person that's in your division you got to deal with, right? So if you really are interested, you want to get that wing, because there's not many stretch wings. I'm sorry, in free agency, there is not. And this is one that you could go out and get with a Cam Johnson. It was reported that DeMar DeRozan is a potential Paul George replacement for the Clippers via sign and trade if he does decide to leave the Lakers or the Clippers. So DeRozan could be out there in Clipper land there. So that would free up a spot in Chicago possibly for there. But Indiana, you got to get that Paul George-like wing out there. And I think the best piece you got right now you can get to keep people from your division getting better is Cam Johnson, especially with the Cavs had a better record than you last year, and they're going to be offering a Donovan Mitchell $209 million extension.
Yeah, Brandon, ain't nobody scared of the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. I'm for real, man. They fired J.B. Bickerstaff on some bull. They brought in the retread, Kenny Atkinson. I was like, oh, man, not another name, you know what I'm saying, that we've heard before. But and I'm not saying the Cleveland Cavaliers won't be good whether they make a trade or not. I think during the playoffs they had limited availability from their bigs. I don't think Garland and Donovan Mitchell are always on the same page when it comes time to, like, okay, what are we going to do as far as – because they're both point guards. It is what it is, man, you know what I mean? So, but, like, hey, they got a new regime over there. They're probably going to run – you know what I'm saying? Brandon, the East runs through – if you can't beat Boston, you know what I'm saying, you're not going to have any type of success. So, like, I wouldn't necessarily – if I was the team construction, you know what I'm saying, how can we beat Boston?
Agree. Tom, we've got more news.
Coming
hot and heavy tonight. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, they intend to sign Nick Claxton to a 4-year, $100 million extension. They're going to keep Claxton for 4 years, $100 million there in Brooklyn. Thoughts?
Okay. Well, they ain't giving away everybody. You know what I'm saying? Claxton showed he could hold his own against a Giannis when they played them, 2020? When they played that series against Brooklyn. I think he was a rookie, I do believe. He's shown that he can be a new age level center. He ain't gonna, like, watching him play, you ain't going to never ever think that that's Olajuwon's replacement, you know what I'm saying, in this NBA or Alonzo Mourning. But he is a, you know what I'm saying, he's a active body that bangs and gets rebounds and block shots and you know, likes to dunk, man. So, you know, he's all in, man. That's actually what they kind of – he's the kind of player, if you think about some of the other guys around the league, like, they want a Jackson Hayes to be, but they haven't seen yet. They want a I'm trying to think who else is a lame duck out of the big man. Christian Wood. Sorry, Lakers, picking on y'all. Christian Wood, they want him to kind of be like that, but he hasn't necessarily. But so I'm like, man, if you show that you are a seven-footer and got the nose for the ball, man, the NBA got $100 million for you. Good for him.
I don't know I'm getting reports, Woj and out from Woj, just said on the on the pre-show that the Atlanta Hawks, who have the number one pick, and that they are obviously zeroing in on our boy from France. But as of this morning, there was talk that they could flip it and target in a trade and end up taking Reed Sheppard at number two or three, possibly.
So, like, trading down?
Trading down, yes.
The Hawks want Reed Sheppard?
I mean, Woj just echoed it a little bit. I hate to say it, but I just read it.
But there is a trade happening with some of those veterans around there. I know the Hawks. I'm not gonna say I know. I got an 89% chance. It's an 89% chance for sure that Okongwu is gone. There's an 89% chance that DeJounte Murray is gone, and it's probably, y'all brace for impact, a 95% chance that Trae Young is gone. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
From reading the teams of the NBA. But Reece, I mean, but they could parlay a number. I mean, it doesn't really happen. You know what I'm saying? Where NBA teams trade off the number one pick, but you know what I'm saying? Who's to say that they? You can probably get a little bit of somewhat of a, you know what I'm saying, good, you know what I'm saying, haul back for even in this draft for a number one pick.
Scott wants to know where's your boy Ben Simmons going?
Yeah, he's out of there, man. maybe Dallas. I mean, I'm not trying.
I'm glad you said that, because I was for sure you're gonna the team you always say and you always throw the land of the lost to, Orlando.
Nah, they don't. We could just see that they're gonna put him and Fultz back together.
We're gonna put the whole 76ers together. Let's bring your boy on to get his takes out tonight. He's hot, he's loud as hell.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I'm not going to take much time because I know we got the show tonight. Three things I want to hit real quick. The Ben Simmons thing.
There you go.
Hey, thanks. Hey, 26 never felt so good. And just so happens, I am at Shelbyville. So there will be some heavy 26 tonight. So, but with that said, I don't think Ben Simmons goes to Dallas because he's a ball handler, right? He's not a shooter. There's no reason for him to be in Dallas because his strengths are handling the ball and getting guys involved. That's up to Luka and Kyrie. So I think Dallas is off the market. Yeah, he plays defense. He'd be the only guy playing defense. But the thing is, on the offensive end, he's going to be lost, right? He's a one side of the court guy. So that'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. But I want to hit this. One thing, we talked about this New York thing with OG being re-signed. And I know that, you know, a lot of people saying, hey, we got to do something. We absolutely have to do something. Because think about this. We've got Boston. You've got the Bucks. You've got New York. You've got Miami. You've got Orlando. You've got Cleveland. These teams are all in the wheelhouse of the Pacers. So with a few wins here or there, we could be a play-in team. You don't want to go play-in after being to the ECF the year before. So I believe, you know, it segues to my next point. And this is really smart guy that went to Purdue that agrees with him. TJ McConnell is in play. He has to be in play because the Pacers need to protect Turner at the rim. We've got to get better perimeter defense, clearly, with the moves other teams have made. So my thought is, I don't know what's on the table for us with regard to TJ, but he's not going to be ever higher than he is now. And you got to strike while the iron is hot. And this is not the Pacers of the early 80s where you keep the fans' favorite to sell tickets. So this is a business call, not a feelings call. So that's my thinking. I want to get, you know, you all's take on that thought process with regard to Ben Simmons, obviously, the Knicks move, and also TJ.
I saw a proposed trade that had the Pacers picking up, what's his name, Jonathan Isaac from Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando, yeah.
And I kind of lost it. There's no way I want Jonathan Isaac around this team. And I get it, man. Jonathan Isaac, a couple years ago, you know what I'm saying, people kind of saw him as maybe a good version of Tristan Thompson. You know what I mean? But I don't like often injured players, man.
Didn't he come back from a catastrophic situation, and you know, and he kind of worked his way back? I don't know that last year that he was 100% back. What do you? I mean, he's an athletic guy, right?
Right.
And maybe that's an opportunity. I don't know, but it's something to ponder, because if you're going to sign Nembhard to a 4-year deal, he's got 2 more years left on his rookie deal, so really it doesn't kick in till next year. So you got 5 years with Nembhard. Think about this: you got Ben, you got Ben Mathurin coming up in 2 years after this coming year, because it's a 5-year deal, right? So you got some young players that are going to come due, and maybe you want to do something short-term to be able to retain, as we talked about, your core. And also, don't forget about your rim protector is coming up next summer, too.
Yeah. Miles Turner's going to retire our Pacers, y'all. He ain't going nowhere.
But you follow what I'm saying. Money talks, and you know what walks, right? So we got to figure out something, and tonight might be that night with those 3 second-round picks. You've got, you know, T.J. McConnell. You've got Isaiah Jackson. You got some things. You also remember, don't forget, Jalen's going to probably opt out this weekend, right? So maybe there's some talk about doing something with Jalen on the sign and trade also to tie in with T.J. McConnell.
T.J.'s not leaving. I'll put $100 on he ain't leaving.
And listen, I hear what you're saying, Brandon, but we're talking about from a team perspective, you know. You know, the Pacers are the 6th seed.
Who says the Knicks are going to work? This is going to work for New York. Who says it's going to work for Milwaukee? It's not.
I don't want to talk about – I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Pacers.
You were saying they need to make a move like the Knicks. Because the Pacers are going to fall behind. They're going to be playing games.
Hey, trading T.J. McConnell and sign and trade with Jalen is not blowing up the team.
How does trading T.J. McConnell improve your defense? Because it doesn't. He led the fucking team.
Well, you got to figure out who you're going to get, because you can't say that, Brandon. I think they need some rim protection. And, again, I'm not saying T.J. is some bum.
There's plenty of people who did Oleg defense besides T.J. McConnell, who was our best guard defender.
I understand. Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But my point being is this: you've got to look at it as striking while the iron is hot. He's not going to be hotter than right now.
Neither
I'm just saying, this is from a perspective thing. And I get, but this guy, listen, Brandon, I know you're in love with T Day. We've talked about this for the last 2 years. I got you. But I'm not talking about from a personal perspective. I'm talking about from a team perspective. Listen, he had a great two-game stretch at the end of the series against Boston, right? Listen, we talked about this last week. I don't want Austin Crozier 2.0. Stop it. We got to be balanced about this. TJ is coming up next summer as a free agent. You got to figure out. You don't want to go into the next season as a lame duck, because then all of a sudden your return is going to be less. I'm telling you, I'm not saying we got to go get desperate, but blowing your team up is not trading TJ McConnell and then trading Jalen or either Isaiah. Those are guys that are 7-8 on your bench, and then a guy who's a backup point guard. He's not going to be your starter. He had an opportunity 2 years ago when Halliburton was out. He had good numbers, but it resulted in losses still. So let's
I'm telling you, the TJ love anything in the offseason. We are playing with house money, how we did this past year. And ownership and management are fine with that, because we did this without Mathurin. So, hey, let's just say, yes, I'm saying that's what they're probably saying. Yeah. Hey, he'll come back, and we can – that's come back, be a new team. We'll have a full season of Pascal. Yeah. So we don't need to – they don't have the money either. And they're not
– Listen, I hear what you're saying. I've heard it, you know, on every show. You have a point there. All I'm saying is, do we want to be a very good team, or do we want to really fight to look at that title? Because when I saw them taking an opportunity to get Pascal and then re-signing him, that tells me, hey, we're going to go for it. Remember last year? We talked about it, right? In January, we said, hey, the Pacers are going for it. Well, you got to keep on going for it. You can't stop. You can't, and sitting still, you're going to be the sixth seed next year. And you know how much I love the Pacers. The Pacers, JB, Pacers will be a sixth seed if they don't make a move to make either a trade or an addition to the team other than what they have. Mark the tape, sixth seed.
Let's be real. This team is –
You can level up play from Mathurin. You can level up play from the kid Walker.
This team's not even close to being the level of
How do we know Walker's going to get some level up? Walker couldn't get past Ben Shepherd. He's the 27th pick. Are you kidding me? Walker couldn't get off the bench for Ben Shepherd. We can't sit there and assume that he's going to have an opportunity to play.
There's a logjam at his position.
Yeah.
There's a logjam.
So what do we do?
He's a rookie.
So what do we do?
They're going to probably
run it back.
Okay. If there's a logjam, just understand this. Jairus Walker will be on the bench watching with Oscar Shebe, me, Reggie, and a few others.
Now you don't have to worry about it.
I'm just telling you. Man, I'm telling you, I get what you guys are saying, but you got to think perspectively. Contracts are going to come due in a couple of years. Ben Mathurin, you've got Turner coming up. I'm just telling you, those things have to see what happens, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I'm telling you now, if we don't do something significant this summer, the Pacers will be at 60 at the end of next season.
They are happy with that.
That's at best. We're talking about games you're going to lose here and there. But listen, you got to understand, there are teams and there are games that could go either way. That five can turn into eight really quick or six really quick.
You say 6-3, I really don't think Cleveland's better than them. I definitely know Charlotte ain't better than them.
Okay, Orlando handled us twice in Banker's life, and I witnessed both of those games, and it wasn't close from a physicality perspective. It was, and Ben Mathurin was there for both games. I'm just telling you, man.
Orlando, and again, I like Orlando. Orlando's a tough out. Orlando is a playoff team, but I don't know. I like the Pacers' chance.
So who are the playoff teams to be? So mark it down, and I'll get gone. Who are the playoff teams number 1 through 6? In the East.
Boston.
Head and shoulders above the Pacers.
Boston, the Knicks, the Pacers. I can't put him in order. I can tell you.
Are you saying the Pacers are a 4-seed, JB? Are you saying a 4-seed?
At least.
JB, they were a 5 this year. How
okay,
can that be?
They should be hosting first round this year. Y'all starting on the road.
You know, I love you guys to death, man, but I'm really disappointed in your perspective, man.
You got to crawl before you can walk before you can run.
We crawled just recently. We didn't get better. If you don't get better, you don't get better in the seating. You get worse.
They must have gave Decott the price for the tickets next year. He's not too happy with it. That's why he won't change it.
What'd you say, Brandon? I didn't hear you say it again.
I said the season ticket bill must have came, and they're going to charge him a lot more, so that's why he wants some more players.
Hey, listen. I'm here at Shelbyville trying to win my money so I can go ahead and pay it off because the good thing is it didn't go up for me because we adjusted our seats. But so the point is, I'm telling you, we got to make a move. And I'm not talking about some crazy move. I'm just saying something that's going to give Turner some help, going to give us some better protection around that glass. How did we lose the Boston game in game one? Rebound.
No. They lost these games because they fumbled the ball. That's why they lost those games.
But who's going to rebound for us? Who's our rebounder? Can somebody help me out?
It's supposed to be Miles Turner, to be honest with you.
Seven again.
Why do you need a big?
JB?
Why do you need a big to rebound? Josh Hart gets there and gets 13 rebounds a game. You don't need a big.
Well, we don't have that guy on the court. We don't have that guy on the court. So now what do we do?
Never know.
I think
Walker might be that guy.
Frank Vogel didn't have these problems, Brandon.
Hey, listen. You know what? See,
Frank Vogel
did
that.
I'm not taking the bait. You know what? I love you two guys too much. I'm gonna listen to the show because I've got to see a man about a roulette table here really soon. But I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna continue to listen. Keep me on the phone because the internet kind of goes back and forth here at my cousins in Shelbyville. But I want to listen to see what's going on, and I hope my guy Matt can get on here and give you guys some knowledge that's sorely needed in the Crossroads environment.
Mac Gaddis says Pacers got too many guards with Mathurin. Agree with Brandon and Decott. Pacers are okay with being competitive. Pacers are 7th seed. I mean, it is. They're happy.
Hey, listen,
so,
listen. Let me say.
Nope. I lost him. Hold on.
Hey,
go ahead.
Just heard from the czar of the Indianapolis high school basketball level, Matt Gaddis. Pay some respect to that dude, all right? You got to put him on the show revolving because he offers that much. Yes, I'm a little bit biased because I know him, but I'm telling you, offers a lot of good stuff, man. Keep him locked in for sure.
You're very demanding for being a wild caller.
All right, fellas. Keep me on hold.
Right.
I want to listen, fellas.
Absolutely.
All right. Good. God almighty.
John? At least we ain't talking about Bama. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thank God. We got that's going to be nauseam this fall. I can't deal with that. He says some okay things, but, dude, Pacers are content, man. They're content, and they're going to run it back. Team B run it back. They don't got the salary to do it. They love T.J. McConnell. When he said they need to get rid of T.J. and improve their wing defense, like, T.J. was their wing defense. He was.
Right.
Our $200 million guy was the Ole defender. Not saying
right.
Get rid of him, but.
Right, and here's the thing, Brandon. If they need to make a move, they'll make it in February. They won't make it right now.
Nah,
there's nothing
nah,
really right
nah,
now right. From a draft standpoint that they want, and any of these free agency names, they don't have no interest in because it's going to put them in a luxury tax.
Kevin Pritchard and Donnie Walsh, folks, and Chad Buchanan, these guys, they're already in bed tonight. They are in bed listening to the pod here, resting up for tomorrow, and they're going to probably end up trading those picks for cash considerations tomorrow because what do the Pacers need? They don't need players. They need cash
right.
because right now they're over the luxury tax. So any cash they can get. Eastern Conference teams, and I'm sorry, I love the Pacers. You know my love for the Indiana Pacers, but like the Boston Celtics are head and shoulders a better team, way better team than Indiana. Indiana, besides getting another superstar, they'll never match Boston. Never. They don't have the makeup for it. Right. You talk about the playoff teams. Pacers were a sixth seed this past year. Technically, they were tied for it because they were also tied with Orlando and Philly. But Boston, New York, Milwaukee, John, you say Cleveland and Orlando aren't better, but you got to believe that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to get better with Embiid coming back from injury. So there's your top four. Pacers then possibly at the five seed. And I think they're okay with that. They are okay. It was house money last year. They said, hey, we got everybody back in the arena. We got in the playoffs. We have the East Conference Finals. It's house money. We're good. And that's the way this team is. This is the way the ownership is. We know how this works. We know how it works.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, man. On to the next subject, bro.
J.J. Redick officially named Lakers coach. People are pissed off because apparently he dropped the F-bomb during his press conference. I think people just need to get over it.
It was bad. It was low fruit, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't terrible. If you listen to it in entirety, you know what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing, J.J. You are the coach of the Lakers. The Boston Celtics, their rival, just won another championship. Right? J.J. Redick, here's what I will say, Brandon. He is a master. He's used his time in the ESPN, learned, and he's a master of media and talking to people and engagement. I'm also believing, from listening to a couple episodes of this podcast and just listening to him talk, that he knows, and I know he's a player, former player, that he knows a little bit about basketball. But being in that grind and being up all night, we've had coaches on here all the time. Both from the women's program and they are round the clock coaches, always thinking like, can he grind? And we haven't seen that yet. He never was an assistant. You know what I'm saying? Never assisted in a collegiate or anything like that. So when you have to grind, it's not, and the cameras ain't on there. Those are the things that I'm kind of, that's what it gives me a red flag. But as far as like winning the media over, man, he won that game.
Yeah. Scott says this draft is watching the draft. I know three players. I think this draft has a chance to be one of the top worst drafts of all time. I really do. I was just reading an article today, and the last Sports Illustrated went through and named the entire draft classes. What bus were draft classes wise, John? The 2003 draft, stop it, 03 was the best. The 2000 NBA draft was the worst, graded on F. Using the warp, the wins above replacement metric, the 2000 draft class collectively produced a rate of 17 wins, worse than a group of average replacement players, making this draft class the only one in NBA history to leave the league's talent pool worse than it has been before. Let me give you some of these names. Kenyon Martin, Stromile Swift, Darius Miles, Marcus Fizer, this is the draft order, Fizer, Mike Miller, DeMar Johnson, Chris Mim, Jamal Crawford, Joe Prisvilla, Keon Dooling, Jason Collier, Mateen Cleaves, Courtney Alexander, Hedo Turkoglu, Desmond Mason, Quint Richardson, Jamal McGlure, Speedy Claxton, Morris Peterson, Donnell Harvey, Deshaun Stevenson, Primo Brezic, Pacer, Eric Barkley, Mark Madsen, Marco Yarek, A.J. Guyton, Khalid Al-Amin, Eddie House, Michael Redd, the only one probably that – he was a second-round pick, the only one that really – Brian Cardinal.
Well, that's because he had the knee injuries. Brian Cardinal played a long time.
He did. Corey Hightower, Scooter Penn.
This wasn't sexy. Brandon, I think this draft's got a lot of hidden gems in it, man, 2-3 years from now. Man, the kid Cody Williams – out of Colorado might be the next Al Harrington. But I'm saying Al Harrington, like I saying that this kid is the next Al Harrington, or saying this kid is the next Jermaine O'Neal is not exactly saying that the kid is the next Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James, whoever was number one, Tim Duncan. There is probably not in this draft. But can you get a guy like what I just said? You know what I'm saying? Al Harrington. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say Rim Bender. Jonathan Bender, but you know what I'm saying, a guy who you know what I'm saying, rode the pine for a couple of years, seasons, and when they got that opportunity, they shined like a star. I think this draft got better in this draft.
what we really need to do in the offseason, John, and I want from you is I want you to take a look, and I want you to rank since 2000 the draft class. I want you to rank them from top to those 23 draft class. You can do 24 if you want this one, but really you're not going to have an idea. But honestly, I do think the 2003 draft class, I hate to say I'm a little biased because that's the year I graduated high school as well, but I think the 2003 draft class was the best.
Wow.
You got four Hall of Famers.
I don't know if people lose their mind when you say 96
Well, 96 you got LeBron, or 2003, you got LeBron James. Darko was a mess.
Good for him.
Carmelo, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade.
Good for him.
You know, Dave West was in this draft class. Josh Howard was in this draft class. Korver, Mo Williams. Now, let me go to 96. Let me go to your 96
right.
one here.
That's
you
right.
were, what, 2 years out of college? So you were just getting your first big boy job, really? You know, just getting
in 96? No, I'm still in school. I was still in school, buddy. I didn't
graduate. You graduated in 94. So you went to victory last
then. I was a super senior, as they called it.
All right, 96. Okay, yeah, yeah, 96 is probably better. Now I'm looking at it. Okay, yeah, 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 I'll take 96. I'll give you that. Iverson, Camby, Shareef Abdul-Rahim, Marbury, Ray Allen, Antoine Walker, Kobe, Peja, Nash, Jermaine.
And the homie, Steve Nash, two-time MVP. Come on, man.
The Drunas, Roy Rogers, Derek Fisher, Brian Evans, Othella Harrington.
Georgetown.
Let's see who else here. The Pacers, head coach of Kentucky, Mark Pope.
Yeah, that was that draft.
Drew Barry. Damn.
The only one somebody to argue with over 96 is probably 84.
Yeah. That's got Elijah Wan, Barkley, Jordan, Otis Thorpe, Willis, John Stockton. Yeah. Let's see. Who's the other one I have? I can't think of the other guy's name I was thinking. Yeah, that one's probably the other. John, I was looking at this draft, and I was reading some notes for this draft, and now they went to 2 days, and obviously that might be the dumbest thing they've ever done to go to 2 days. Not only did they piss it away by doing that, John, but they also let me bring it up. Gosh dang, I just had it a second ago because I was so shocked. Give me a second. Draft's going to start. We'll probably get a couple picks in here as they're going. So before we end the show tonight, the second round, they've extended it from 2 minutes to 4 minutes per pick for the second round, which may be one of the dumbest things ever. It's just crazy. The Hawks are on the clock. It still seems like Reed Sheppard is in play for the number one pick, which is wild right now.
That'd be crazy, man, Bruce Shepard, number one. That'd be crazy.
Yeah. While that's going, John, let's talk real quick. Huge news over the weekend. WWE in Indianapolis, they were here for Raw, but they made a huge deal with Indiana Sports Corp. This year, next year's Royal Rumble, a future SummerSlam, and a future WrestleMania are all coming to Lucas Oil Stadium. Long awaited. Long overdue.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, and he means to be, we won't mention his name, he kind of had a negative approach to this deal, and I couldn't think of why. Like, man, so, like, the city of Indianapolis builds these buildings, whether it's Gainbridge Fieldhouse or the Indiana Convention Center or even the State Fairgrounds, they build these facilities to say that we can get concerts, the city of Indianapolis can get concerts, can run, you know what I'm saying, games, whether it be football games, Indy Field games, Pacer games, whatever, soccer games. I know soccer is a bit of a contentious word here in Circle City right now, man. Uh-oh, we got breaking news, guys.
Pick is in for the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
Atlanta has selected Sar, the France boy.
Yes.
They went with him number one.
Man, because he's the best player in this draft. Now, if he don't want to play for the Atlanta Hawks, then your representation will figure that out, and they'll make them trade. That's kind of what it was. That's kind of what the tea leaves that I had heard, that he wasn't interested in playing for the Hawks. But, like, he's the best player. in this draft. So kudos to Atlanta Hawks for picking the best player.
Okay, perfect. Back to the – and by the way, I think our guy, man, anything we've posted or anything that seems like is great or whatever, man, he's always a little sour on it. Always a little sour on everything.
But no, man. So, like, that brings WWE, there's this a good wrestling fan base, you know what I'm saying, here in the city of Indianapolis, man. I'm sure they'll pull from the surrounding communities and suburbs and whatnot. But, like, imagine Chicago got this deal. We'd be losing our minds. Well, where's Indiana going to get it? Imagine if Columbus got the deal. We'd be losing our minds, you know what I'm saying? This is a big-time deal. This almost kind of helps with tourism. So the mayor needs to get his act together. The mayor needs to get his act together. You know what I'm saying? These streets need to get their act together because too much freaking construction. You know what I mean? Because WWE and you know, even though it's technically a combat sport, I get it. It is a combat sport. We already know who's going to kind of win or whatever. But, like, they put on grand events like nobody else, man. And I'm not no WWE mark.
They help community.
Yes, and they help community, absolutely. So, man, I think it could be nothing but good I don't see nothing but good kind of happening. You know what I mean? So, you know,
we're going to get our media credentials.
I had Triple H's real name, and like I don't.
Paul Levesque.
And he was talking like it's like WWE on the press at the pressure. He was like Paul Levesque. I was like Paul who? Paul Levesque. Oh, Triple H. I got you. So that it was kind of cool to see him out of character and talk about the product that they're bringing to the city of Indianapolis. I think it's big. It's huge.
Yeah, and they're going to have to get our credentials for the events here at Lucas Oil.
There we go.
That'll be fun. Real quick, while we're on WWE, John, Uncle Howdy, the interview this past weekend was pretty good.
Brandon, listen, man, you have to pay me the house gate to turn my real life pour my real life into my fake, into my fake life, man. That was, I don't know, man. I get it, man. It kind of also brings you to – it brings a lot of emotions, but, like, man, it was almost a little bit too much, man, to have Bo Dallas go out there and talk about his pain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's the reason why WWE is number one, man. They figure out a way to straddle the edge and to make the sports entertaining.
Breaking news. More breaking news from Shams. Jimmy Butler will not sign an extension with the Miami Heat and will enter free agency next summer. So Jimmy Butler's got one last year with the Heat, and then he will be a free agent officially and likely sign elsewhere.
There you go. He'll be playing in Pelican Bay with Zion Williamson.
Damn. Laker, probably.
They taking everybody. Man, they talking about getting Chris Paul. I was like, man, LeBron, you running the circus now, bro.
Him and Bronny running the guard positions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But let's see. The Pistons are going to renounce James Wiseman, making him a free agent.
Wow.
The former number
man,
two
that's
pick.
Crazy. Brandon, Pacers. That dude was the number one high school player in America just a few
Pacers
years ago.
Look at him.
Number one overall. Man, for what? Evidently can't play dead. Why?
You never know. Maybe it's just the system. He's all been drinking high-low option on the veterans minimum.
They couldn't get nothing out of him in Golden State. They couldn't get nothing out of him in Detroit. Man, he can't play dead, bro.
Damn. I tried. I tried, people. John wasn't going for it.
I was big on him. I thought he could be. I remember seeing his high school mixtape, man. I thought he could be. You know, he was athletic like David Robinson. But you know what I'm saying. You have to have it. You have to have the drive. You have to develop your jump shot. You know what I'm saying. In this NBA, they want you to play, be able to cover a whole lot of space. You know what I'm saying. In a short amount of time, and he those are all those things he struggled with. Maybe I almost damn near think he should have stayed in school to get some more development, because NBA just is like put your feet to the fire. You know what I mean? So
NBA
I'm sure he'll bounce around. I'm sure he'll bounce around and get another job, but good luck with that project.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is absolutely determined to have a big season next year and set himself up for a major payday in 2025 free agency. So we'll see what happens there. NBA Central has also tweeted that the Indiana Pacers are interested in Bronny James at pick number 36.
Wow. They're going to do what you said. Play some
games. Absolutely. They're still pissed off about the whole Roy Hibbert thing and the Paul George thing. So if they can finesse the Lake Show and get after LeBron again, take your son.
Yeah.
Bring LeBron over for a one-year deal. Fuck it. That's the Paul George S you need for one or two seasons. I lose my mind. I would lose. Pacer fans would lose their minds if the villain over
Reggie
all those
would.
Years.
Reggie would. Reggie.
He'd have to cheer on the Kang.
Right.
As he calls him.
Right.
For sure. John, you got anything else, my man? I'm trying to kill some time while they're doing these draft picks, but
I shame on me, man. I didn't really put my whole big toe into Major League Baseball like I should. I did kind of want to talk about Kalen Carter, Angel Reese's game, Fever versus Skyforce this past weekend, man. It was a great, exciting game. Fever choked away. Sorry, y'all. Choked away a 15-point lead. They got great, impressive play. Out of Angel Reese, I don't want to take nothing away from her. The WNBA needs to market these ladies, all of them, really. Because again, I want to say this, man. Azza Wilson, she's the best player in the WNBA. Another great team is the New York Liberty, led by Breanna Stewart. Another great individual talent. But as far as the future's concerned, that's Kalen Carter and Angel Reese. Sorry, y'all. It is what it is, man. But they need to market that as a rivalry, brewing, and let it go. The WNBA is growing. I can't be no more happy for it. I'm sure they'll get a bigger paycheck. They should, next year.
Yeah, looks like Washington's pick is in. Alex Saar is going number 2 to Washington.
Okay, so wait a minute. I thought Saar went for number 1.
The other dude did.
Oh, they picked the other French dude. Okay, I got you.
Yep, yeah. So, but Saar is going number 2. That'll bring us to Houston at 3, which we always think Reed Sheppard will probably be that number 3 pick based off of some of these mocks. So,
yeah,
all right, John, sure. we'll be chatting it up on Facebook on Twitter on X tonight with the draft. Like I said, my final thought, I think the Pacers are quiet. I don't think they make any major moves. I really don't, especially in the draft. I think they are in bed tonight. And then they probably trade some draft picks for cash considerations. But if they take Bronny at number 36, I wouldn't be mad to fleece the Lakers.
Yeah, man. Other than that, man, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Scott K. Nicholson, State Farm Insurance. How could we do so without his leadership, without his vision and all those things? I also want to say thank you to our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsport. Thanks for all that they do for Crossroads Sports as well. I also want to say give a shout-out. I know we don't do that really, but give a shout-out to Alex Pillow, man. Alex Pillow about to wrap up his next – he's about to be – I think right now he's a 2-time in the points leader, but he's probably on his way to a three-time – Indy, I know I sound like who you say that in wrestling? Three times, I can't remember.
Booker T, five times.
But yeah, man, he's out below. What race? The Grand Prix this weekend. Kind of running. So like, yeah, man, he's on his way from the point standpoint of dominate that particular to dominate any car, man. So like, nah, man, rocking and rolling, man. I know, we got. We went through a whole lot real fast. I know we really talk a whole lot about NFL, and ain't too much to talk about anyway, man. We got trade.
Hey, Alex said, good to go, Richardson. Chains are off.
Man, don't believe that liar. Sorry, y'all. Don't believe that liar, man. That dude Ballard is a liar, man. Sorry, y'all. He's a liar. He got good hair. He got good hair. You know what I'm saying? He looks like he's been hitting the weight room, man. But he's a likable liar, man. And you know how I feel about liars, man.
What about the news that happened to kind of in Bloomington the last 24, 48 hours?
You talking about with the Hoosier bloggers being
fired
or being not around? I guess it gets away from the distractions, away from what this particular coach is trying to do. Because like if guys that he's coaching are constantly reading what the blogs say about him, then that causes an effect. So they got rid of the bloggers. I guess you can still blog. You can't stop nobody from talking about IU basketball.
Yeah, but inside information they're not going to get anymore, and
right,
they're kind of
right,
limit their
right.
credentials. And he canceled the golf outing, the alumni golf outing stuff. Canceled it.
So maybe somebody could say he's taken away from the distractions and the entertainment factor of being an IU basketball player. I just kind of like, I know anybody who is a, what's your name, who's a booster and it kind of, you know, saying, and feeds into these bloggers or goes to that golf club, that they're going to kind of be pissed because those fans want that access. That's what IU likes. But Woodson's job is to get IU. Hey, man, Brandon, who went to the Final Four? Who was the final two teams in the Final Four last year? UConn and Purdue. Who's IU's blood rival? Purdue.
Yeah.
When's the last time IU went to a Final Four?
2002.
Right. That's 22 years, man. And, you know, I get it, Purdue didn't win, but IU, you ain't even sniffed the Sweet 16. In how long? You ain't even sniffed the Big Ten tournament, a Big Ten championship. In how long? So I see this as Woodson trying to. I'm not saying it's going to happen because he still got to coach his team. And I don't know, some of that pieces, I don't know, Brandon. We'll see, right? But – At least in his mind, he's eliminating the distractions, some of them.
Sounds good. We want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Without you guys, we would not be able to do what we do. Enjoy the NBA draft. Reed Shepard is the number 3 pick, by the way.
Wow.
Join the conversation on Twitter. Me and John will be on there all night talking the NBA draft, and we'll see if any of our big moves in the association happen. So till then, we'll see y'all next week. Have a happy rest of the week. Be safe, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. There's only one place to go in Indy for the biggest, loudest, and best-priced fireworks. The Boom Boom Room. With one of the largest selections of 500-gram finale sets in Indianapolis and 7-inch canister shells. The Boom Boom Room can help you have the best display in the neighborhood. They have everything else you need, like poppers, fountains, bottle rockets, novelties, and even quiet fireworks. Need a bigger bang for your buck? The Boom Boom Room has backdoor pricing. Check out the Boom Boom Room Indy on Facebook for more information. Or just stop in and see them at the corner of Thompson and McFarland on the southeast side.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Indiana. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Terms and conditions apply.